Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Lilligans. Mitch, Brad,
hello,
Bird.
All right,
victory on the road.
It's a nice feeling.
It's a new feeling.
Yeah, it's a new feeling.
When we were in the bus riding back, Mark Gardner and I figured out in the 9 years of the Lilligans existing,
yeah,
we've never seen a road win.
Yeah, the few that we went on with the Lions definitely were always downers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is literally, I mean, and there are some people, Matt's gone to road trips and seen, but traveling
but a big
en
group
masse
of us, yeah.
Is, Bird always likes to use that word en masse when we're talking about this.
Yeah, we've never gone 100 people somewhere and been able to walk out with our colors, you know, with our chests puffed out, you know, giving it the big one. And we did.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first time we've had more than 15 people go somewhere and win.
Yeah.
And that is a damn good feeling.
And more importantly than that, where this game sits in the season and who it was against. I mean, you know, Swope's that team that we're chasing down.
It was massive.
It was a 6-point swing. And then we follow that up again with another 6-point swing on Saturday. But since our last podcast, we've had 3 games. Actually, because we took last week off. Big home win at Reno in St. Louis against Reno.
Forgot about that.
1-0. RSL, one of the top teams in our division, and we managed a 1-1 draw. I think maybe we could have done better in that game. But
I thought we were actually more in it towards the end.
But the fact that we got 1 point at all, I considered a positive because I wasn't expecting much out of that game.
We didn't have a lot of possession, but I do think we do tend to hit teams on the break, especially on the road. And we had our chances, but so did they. So you can sit here and say, you know, you're kind of upset we didn't take all three, but you can also be relieved that we got one. It was one of those games where it could have gone either way, so a draw is probably the right result.
Exactly.
And again, it's the number one team in the division. I mean, when you're taking a point from them in their house and they're the number one team, that's a massive, massive point.
And since, you know, like I said, since the last podcast, we've banked 7 points. So that's nothing to sneeze at.
We just got to keep doing our business. That's what it comes down to.
This weekend, obviously, is huge. So with San Antonio coming, got a little bit help. Tulsa beat San Antonio
finally,
this weekend.
Finally, we got some help because, I mean, you know, San Antonio went to Real and won. They played Phoenix and won, you know. So the teams around us have been winning. We went through a stretch earlier when we were getting a lot of help, but the last 2-3 weeks, you know, we've had to win. We've had to take care of our business just to stay in it. And God bless you, Tulsa. Thanks. Yeah. But it's not just San Antonio we have to worry about as well. Reno's still there. They're in 8th, San Antonio in 9th. So
and Swope even with us on points right now.
And they've got
the tiebreaker.
But, you know,
And speaking of which, San Antonio faces Swope on Wednesday, so that's one to tune in to Wednesday night, because that has a big bearing on our season. But good news
is, I guess
is,
we're San Antonio fans that night because
I'm kind of Swope.
I'm 1-1 draw fans red cards and Nick groin stains.
But I think if somebody has to win that game, kind of leaning towards Swope because anything to put San Antonio further back, because San Antonio's chasing us.
And they have a game in hand. That's the other problem. San Antonio has the game in hand right now.
So, but the good news is Swope will be playing them on short rest from our Saturday game, and then San Antonio will be playing us on short rest off of their Wednesday game with Swope.
I think that's the big thing that you talk about with us getting 7 points, is that we played 3 games in
10 days.
And, you know, that's huge. I mean, to go...
And a lot of travel. I mean, it's not an easy trip to fly to Real Salt Lake.
Then fly back to Kansas City.
Fly back to Kansas City,
And then get the bus home. But 7 points, you know, in the space of 10 days where you've had to do the travel and you've had two games on three days rest.
Yep.
I mean, it's massive. And kudos to the lads.
And 2 of those games against people we're aiming for that final spot with.
You know, and I said it in our last podcast, if we want to run with the big dogs, we have to show it, and they've shown it. And I knew they could. I just hoped that they showed it, and they showed it.
Well, as Sean Reynolds said at the end of the game, we're not fucking done.
We're not done yet. Oh, God bless Sean, man. You see, it's so easy to see why the Coopers still love him. He's just top guy.
It's funny because, you know, we were all in that mindset. It was like a home game. We took points there. that was ours.
We were louder. We were.
It was ours. Yeah. It was ours. And he came over and said, "Hey, we're not doing this in their house."
Yeah, that's the right.
It was. Call. It was the right yeah. thing. I kind of feel bad in hindsight for saying, you know, for everybody saying, "Hey, we got to do it. We got to do it."
Yeah,
but we get caught up in the moment.
Yes.
You know?
Again, it was a road win. We've never seen one. That's going to happen.
We did give up a few goals late there, but
we did.
But I think we had it in hand at that point. I mean, I'm not saying I wasn't nervous because I get nervous.
The last 30 seconds was a bit butt puckering.
Once Kyle Gregg made that run, holy! First of all, yes, he's on pace to possibly set the goal record for the team, and God love him because he's doing it. But just his breakaway speed on that, the heads-up play, I mean, it was, you see why he is this scoring machine.
The turn, he just skinned that kid.
Yeah.
I need to turn and run. But
there's a lot of guys we could talk about. I mean, Kalistri coming in, making a difference.
Holy cow. He had a sliding tackle that broke up what was going to be a 3-on-1, basically.
Corey, we're a broken record at this point. He does so much off the ball.
And that's the thing, is that I hope people that were down on him at the beginning of the year when he wasn't putting them in are now seeing what he does. The pressure to score our first goal.
There are still people down on him on Twitter. I get it. He's a striker. He's supposed to score goals, but he has made a lot of goals happen this year.
When he forced the keeper into the turnover, where we were just able to just waltz it in at that point in time, I mean –
I didn't see much of it because I was doubled up laughing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, he pressured the keeper, and Cox just strolled it into the goal.
Cox probably could have dribbled it into the net. He made him that much open.
And I couldn't believe it happened at the time because 30 seconds prior to that, Brad turns to me and said, "Matt, we need to get one back before halftime." You know, and I'm like, "Yeah, I know." And then it happened, and then in the space of 5 minutes, I've gone from we can't give up a second or it's game over to we're 2-1 in the lead.
It was amazing. And again, we've never had that experience in these 4 years until this team.
Oh, and we've had the opposite of experience. Many times we give up that goal at the stroke of halftime.
Yeah.
And then you just know you're in for a slog. The fact that we could be on the ascendance in that moment, where they have to go in the locker room and they have to talk about chasing the game, it makes a big difference.
And they were, you knew, even though going in, you're like, we're going to score more.
Yeah,
you did. You just did.
The day felt different.
The confidence in the stands, and you could see it on the players as well. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous how just smooth and
self-assured they're so self-assured right now.
It's like you never see them hanging their heads. There's never that we're out of this. There's never that oh shit, let's park the bus and try to slog something out here. It's we're in it.
Well, and think about how far we've come in this season. I mean, we were talking about it a little bit before we started recording. There was a time when we kept saying, God, if we give up more than one goal, we can't do this.
Yeah.
We gave up 3 goals to a very good team, but 1.
But I do think if we hadn't have played in Salt Lake City on Wednesday, mm-hmm. we'd have finished that game 4-1.
I think
about the 80th minute, the 83rd, we just ran out of gas.
And it was hot. It was hot there.
And we ran out of gas because we played Wednesday, and they gave it their all on Saturday. And they just ran. And I'm all right with that.
The USL recap of the game, pointed out that Ant made a lot of changes. That was a big, he didn't just substitute a couple of guys. There were 6 or 7, starters in that game that weren't starters before. And I know I've criticized Ant as far as his rotation policy and everything. But when you've got these Saturday games, you have to do it. And
it paid off.
And kudos to him for planning that shift that he was going to have to make, for deciding which guys to use on what days. And now having the ability to, he knew he could bring in Gregg, and he knew he could bring in Kalistri towards the second half of that game because now we've got a week to rest up. I think Ant managed his personnel fantastically those 3 games.
Can't argue. And I have argued in the past. I've been on the same page as you. It's like, why are you rotating for Salt Lake? Just win that and worry about Saturday, because we need to win now. But, 7 points in 3 games.
But I think that's a faith in his players that I think we as the faithful we're not used to that. You know, that
probably
that we're not used to guys coming in and getting it done. We're well, not used and
I also,
to.
I also think no matter what level you watch the game at, you want to know who your top 11 are, and you want those guys run out there game in, game out. But
we've got a top 13, 14,
right? Now. And that's a benefit. That's a luxury, and that's something Ant has been able to manage. Now, getting into where we're going to be just pretty much Saturday games. I know we've got one more Wednesday game. Ant's going to have to start making the decision. Who are my top two up top? You know, which wingers do I want to use? Which central midfielders do I want to use? And which goalie do I want to use? I mean, he's spoiled for choice. He's got some good options. It's going to be interesting to see. I still think who our top two are up at top at the striker position. That's the biggest question for me, because I could make a case for three or four guys being used up top.
I think, you know, looking from our point of view, we automatically go Kyle and Corey.
Right.
Kyle's scoring the goals. If Kyle goes to Ant and says, you know what, I think I play better with Dequa.
Yeah.
You can't turn that away. He's scoring the goals. If he feels more comfortable with Dequa, then
right.
Well, know, and you have to listen to the guy who's banging him in.
And sometimes we don't look at it that way. Mm-hmm. We don't look at the partnerships, which he definitely has to take account. A guy like Cox, I know a lot of people want to see Cox and Greg playing together. I kind of think they're similar. They're big bodies. So maybe even if those are our hottest two strikers, maybe that's not
it's an incompatibility,
the partnership that
maybe
works. So, yeah. I tend to think Corey does a lot of stuff out there that he doesn't get credit for. God knows Ant sees it all. But maybe he thinks Dequa and Gregor are a better partnership. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
Speaking of guys coming on and doing the job, Austin Martz, welcome back.
Yeah, full 90 minutes for Austin.
Holy
cow. He is fast.
Oh, my God. When we were going right to left, he had a couple breaks where they couldn't keep up, and it was so good to see him out there, full 90.
They were
full
scared of him.
Well, going back to that RSL game, I mean, I was watching, and I find myself holding my breath when he's
– Is he going to make that cut?
And is he going too fast, and is the defender going to, out of desperation, take that leg out?
Blow a tire.
You know? So, but, yeah, he's looking great. He's looking speedy.
He looks 100%.
He adds another dimension out there on the field that he has to be accounted for.
And it's not just the offensive side, too.
He can get back, yeah.
He's easily the first guy to get back with that speed and cut down angles. And we've seen fast guys on this team before, but they didn't have the soccer awareness to make those angles, to make those plays, and have that confidence in their abilities to make up for it.
And for all of our injury woes earlier than the season, right now it looks like Barden's going to be the only one out. For any more time, I mean,
knock on wood,
barring any injuries, but we're set up right now for a good playoff run,
and couldn't come at a better time. But we were talking about this the previous show, is that we're going into the playoffs playing playoff ball, and that's always the difference, that these guys are already in that mode. They don't have to gear up.
We're playing well,
and the additions that Jeremy's added are really filling in nicely. I mean, Matt and I were talking about Jepson, that he's been a surprising factor on the team.
He's due a goal, man. He can rocket a shot, and
he ain't afraid to shoot either.
And
Pollock's doing great, and
well,
Cox.
Well, you know, and Pollock coming in, we were able to rest Culbertson a little bit. You know, Culbertson, I think Mitch is absolutely right when he says that Culbertson may not win a bucket for man of the match, but he's going to get my vote for player of the season. I mean, people are going to vote for Greg because of the goals, or Walfall. Walfall was injured, but since he's come back, he's made a massive influence. But Culbertson all season has been 8s and 9s out of 10s, well, solid all the way. I personally like the grafter.
But I also we need to differentiate between there's team MVP and Luligan player of the year. It's not always the same thing.
Yeah,
I mean, Greg is kind of like Irvin was that year, where he scored all the goals. And, you know, for me, Walfall is our most valuable player, because I don't think without him coming back into the lineup and pulling the strings, we'd be where we're at. But a guy like Sean or Culbertson are my sort of prototypical Luligan of the year. fight, but determination.
There's so many players.
So many guys, yeah.
You could make
it. Lewis, you could say that.
Fan.
Right.
You know, even Sam. Yeah. You know, he can't be a two-time winner, Sam. Come on.
But I mean. No, but there's several guys.
But that's how well we're playing right now, is that you can make a case for a lot of dudes.
Yeah, you can even make it, Corey, for the off-the-ball work. You know, there is so much out there. But that's the best thing about this, is that years past, it was like, well, it's basically
we have to give it to someone.
You know, it was like, well, it's one of these two guys. Yeah. It's one of these three guys. And now we're talking six, seven, eight.
It should make for an interesting vote. I can't wait.
And I also look forward to the conversations that are going to happen about it, because I do think people will be passionate about the guy that they're supporting for these reasons we're talking about.
Well, I think we'll be passionate, but I think we'll also be able to see it from the other person's point of view. Like, I can sit here and bang Culbertson's drum, but when Brad says, Walfall's made things happen, he has.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can see it from that point of view, too.
Yeah.
You can sit here and say, you know what, Lewis has played every game. He's not missed a beat. He's pretty solid. And I like the blue collar, in your face, mouthy shit that he is attitude. And I get that, too.
That's the thing.
Well, we don't have any players that I can think of off the top of my head that haven't given it their all in one way or another.
We might have to go to the the MLB Hall of Fame voting, where you have first place votes, second place votes, and
proportional representation.
Yes, exactly.
But we talk about a guy like Austin Ledbetter, who didn't get a lot of playing time last year. I mean, he was a rookie coming into the league, and then didn't get a lot of playing time at the beginning of this year. But then Matt mentioned it the last podcast or the podcast before, he was critical in that buildup in August.
Yeah.
Where he played a lot of those minutes, and I mean, he scored a hell of a goal, but just being out there and doing his part and taking his shift, we all know it's not easy to come into a team and be, without missing a beat. Yeah. And he did that. So, I mean, no matter who you name on this team, they've all contributed something at some point this season. And again, it goes a lot to Ant. I mean,
I don't know what to do with these happy podcast guys. I don't know what to do.
But people are
like, aren't you going to be miserable about something?
Yeah, we will. But for all of our sort of snickering at Ant's character players, he's right.
But I
wasn't snickering.
Well, I mean, there were those that saying, quit hiring character players and get some good players. He got both. And the character has shown through this season, especially during the injuries.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think the thing is, it's easy for skill to show through on the field, but the character is not as easy until you see repetition.
But we've had really good players that are dumb as a box of rocks.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if the coach can't tell you what he wants you to do, if you can't take that on board, then you're just a just a paperweight.
All I can think of is that practice that I saw where Dale spent 10 minutes yelling at Charlie Rankin.
That's actually who I had in mind. But yeah, you know, I mean, God love him, but he was dumb as a box of rocks. And we're not getting just good footballers. We're getting clever dudes that can take on board what Ant's trying to do here. And it's working.
Have endeared themselves to the fans and the community.
Oh, yeah.
And you
on Saturday, Kalishti scores and they run to us.
Yeah.
I mean, goosebumps, man.
Oh, it is. But that's what you want. I mean, that's what any fan base wants. You see that at MLS or England or whatever. They run to the traveling fans and, you know, these guys, that's the first thing that they think of, like they should.
And a couple of Coopers reached out, you know, on the bus coming home, and they're like, good for you guys. You deserve it. You guys deserve this.
And you know what? That is a thing. Speaking of the bus, I want to get off the game for a little bit here.
I was going to say somebody else needs a big thank you.
Because we cannot thank Schlafly enough for Schlafly 1. We're not calling it Bus 1. We called it Schlafly 1, like Air Force 1. They purchased the bus for us. They covered the tip as well.
Nice bus, fat guys.
It was a good bus.
It was a quality bus. The driver was a great guy. He was really great.
They added several cases of liquid refreshments.
8 cases of beer I went and picked up.
You know, we should have got the driver a ticket for the game.
I offered. He wanted to take a nap. I offered. I said, hey, we'll get you in. Why don't you come join us? And he said, no, I'm going to take a nap. I'm looking forward to a nap. This is my peace and quiet from home. You of all people should understand that.
But since Schlafly paid for the tip, we took all the money we collected on the tickets we sell, which we normally use to tip the driver. And we donated that to Schlafly's charity along with a collection we took on the bus. $400 for our mini charity du jour.
That's amazing. I mean, just spur of the moment. Thanks to everybody that donated on the bus. I know, you know,
several people chipped in.
Yeah, and I know you probably didn't plan on it, and it was just one of those nice moments that we had. But, you know, for the amount of free beer we got, I think that alone was something great.
And that goes to Schlafly's preferred charity, the National Forest Foundation. It's somebody they work with on a couple of different things. And they said, we told them we were going to make a donation to charity, and that's who they picked. That's who they wanted us to work with. So $400 is coming their way.
But thank you so much to Will and Lo over at Schlafly for organizing this. Lo worked her ass off. If you see her around, make sure you thank her, because, I mean, it's not easy putting these trips together. You know, coordinating with the bus, the pickup time, where we're picking up at, all that kind of stuff. Thanks to Hotshots for letting us use their parking lot again like they always have. And you know, it was a great trip. We had, like, just about 50 people on the bus. I think a few dropped out at the last minute.
Good people, though. And I want to say this about the people that were on the bus. It was a good group of people. And there's a bunch of first-timers, you know, like that Jim Sullivan and his lad, Hashida, Kevin Cheek.
Darian's first.
You know, and good for them. I mean, you've missed 3 years of turgid. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, not every trip is like this, boys.
But it was fun. It was a good group of people, and I enjoyed it.
And there was
probably much.
Another 25 to 50 people that drove on their own that met us there. So, I mean, it was a good group of,
I think
100 or so
I
fans.
I think Stewie counted somewhere right around the 100 mark, which, again, is fantastic. He counted, he said there was less than 300 people in attendance. Announced was like 1,000, of course.
Well, sure.
But as he said too, that probably counts because season ticket holders for
get an automatic
which if they quote unquote redeem it you know that's gonna count. But you know we far outnumbered their fans in the stand. You watch the video if you haven't yet. We're even just the highlights on the USL. You can hear us chanting and drumming and speaking of
made
drumming,
for a nice picture. Thanks Will Brownlett for the pictures.
Speaking of drumming. I want to give it to Sam this time because Sam is that quiet yeoman. Zach is the flashy one. We all know Zach. Zach's the pretty boy. But Sam is that guy that is just there hard work and every time gives it all.
And Patrick Ketting filled in too.
Yep. We had Jeff Aiken, I think, filled in too. But Sam is that guy that just gives it all 100% every game while Zach's being the glory boy.
And they deserve it because Sam's been to away games with us and he's never seen a win. But I do want to say to Zach showed up, we started scoring.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, so he can't not be late to these things.
That's why we didn't have a fast start, guys.
Yeah.
Zach wasn't there.
Because, we score early, you know. But no, it was one of the best, even outside the fact that we won. That is the beyond the cherry on the top. That's a cherry tree on top. But it was such a great trip. You know, again, thanks to Schlafly. Thanks for everybody that went. God, it was so much fun. I was spent yesterday.
Oh, I was useless, and I got two little ones to look after, and I was like dragging.
Want to mention, charity du jour, we mentioned we brought in 400 for the National Forest Foundation. The last home game, which before we had a podcast before that one, we had 458 for Marfan's syndrome. We were up to 22,331 on the year.
We're getting there.
This weekend, the very big game against San Antonio. We need everybody there. We're doing a bladder cancer. I can look it up. Mitch can look it up.
You're faster than me, probably.
The bladder cancer. The stupid phone. Mm. It makes me look at it when the microphone's in my way. It doesn't help. Bladder cancer advocacy network. One of our own members recently had a scare with bladder cancer, and so in his honor we're going to do a big charity du jour for that. So we hope everybody comes out to the tailgate and gives, and we've got a little special tailgate this week. The Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of St. Louis is it's their special game. They're going to be sponsoring the game, so we've got a taco truck coming down. We've got a DJ that will be specializing in Latin American music and going to have a little south of the border theme to our tailgate this week.
Well, hopefully If we win, they just got to come back every time.
That's right.
So yeah, come down early, 5:30. That's when the tailgate kicks off. We're going to have tacos. We're going to have, of course, liquid refreshments from our friends at Kirkwood Station. And the charity du jour is the Bladder Cancer Advocacy Network. So can't say it enough. We're still pushing to get to 25,000. We're at 22,300 right now. So
it's doable.
It's doable. We're going to have, you know, hopefully a couple other, you know, maybe a few playoff game, dare I say it. we're going to do some things and some sales and some other raffles and things coming up. But please come out and donate. And we need people there. We need this game to be packed. There's no bigger game in our history right now.
Every game becomes the biggest game.
Right. But this one, absolutely huge. If we want to make it to the playoffs, we have to win this game. So bring a friend and let's pack the park.
And that's the thing, too. On Saturday, season ticket holders can have their kid bring a friend for free and eat pregame in the Dobbs Pavilion for free. So if you want to bring the little ones.
You should have gotten an email from your ticket rep where you can sign up for that.
Yeah, but if you haven't, you know, reach out to them. You know, get a hold of Corey or Jeremy or whoever your rep is and get it done, because this is a great chance so you can get it going.
Just got to win, man.
Couple news notes around the league. Not a whole lot. We did find out this week that the Richmond Kickers will be going down to Division III next year.
I thought relegating clubs kills them. They don't go down for stability. It kills them, apparently. That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably a smart decision for Richmond. Don't forget, USL was D3 just a few short years ago. Yeah. That's sort of the level they bought in at, and I think it's what they need to do to shore themselves up financially. Hopefully things work out, they start getting bigger and more attendance, and maybe they can come back up to D2, but right now, probably a good idea for them. Just like we know Rochester is planning on coming back as D3 in 2020.
Rumors are that Penn FC are going too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I look at these teams and they don't get much in the way of attendance. And the USL has changed so much in the last 4 years that it's not Richmond's anymore.
Right.
It's Cincinnati's. It's Vegas's with their 8,000. That's the benchmark.
Well, it's even us, though, at this point in time with 35 to 5,000. That's where you need to be.
Well, when we first entered the league, we were fourth in attendance, and now we're like 13th. And we've not slipped that. We've only dropped 10%.
Yeah.
You know, we've not dropped off a cliff.
But I think we're sort of mid to lower end of the attendance figures. I kind of throw out since he's 20,000. Yeah. Because you're not going to get that.
You have to take that out. Yeah. You're really looking at the Louisville's, the Vegas.
Nashville, Sacramento are at 20,000. But look, Nashville's leaving him. It'll be interesting to see what happens to Sacramento's 10,000 if they know MLS isn't going to be.
I feel the same. I also feel the same way. Phoenix don't get it.
Indy's drawing 10,000 now, but remember, this is a move into a new stadium and sort of a new life for them coming over from NASL. Got to figure that's going to fall back.
I don't know, though, but I think, I'll disagree there, because I think that right now, Indy is now a quote-unquote stable franchise, because if anybody was paying any sort of attention, they were probably worried that the team wouldn't be around.
There's that. There's also a lot of complaints about playing in Lucas Oil.
Yes. It's terrible. The lines on that field, even, you know, we talk about even playing
before
on football.
Even before the lines, the atmosphere, for whatever the problems were at the Mike Carroll Stadium, there were issues. They needed to be someplace different. This may be not the right place. They'll find their level. Vegas, the numbers have already started to dwindle. I mean, they're still in the 5,000 range, which is good. But it's hard to believe they'll stay at 10,000 or 8,000, whatever it was.
The product on the field is absolutely garbage.
Yeah. I mean, so we're getting to the point where I'm thinking 5,000 to 8,000 will be the top. 3,000 to 4,000 in the middle.
Yeah.
And anything below 3,000 will be considered
struggling.
Uh-huh. So if you're already in that, maybe time to reevaluate a bit. But we'll see. The sort of the downside of all of this is looking less and less like a Central Conference will happen unless they add a bunch more teams in the coming years. Because
but it also says we probably go back to the East as well, because you're looking at three to four teams dropping out of the East.
That's the key. But also, we still have to wait and see what all happens with the MLS 2 teams, which of those go mm-hmm. down. There's a lot to be sorted out before
we... But if we move to the East, we won't be able to take 7 points off Swope.
Well, that's assuming that they'd even be up still.
Swope might be one of those teams going down to D3. We'll just have to wait and see. But
how great is that number?
7 points off Swope. And two of those were away games.
I know. That's ridiculous.
Something else that's going on this week.
They haven't beat us in 2 years, Mitch. 2 years they haven't beat us.
Bowling with the team. If you're a season ticket member, you can go bowling with the team this Thursday. I think it's in Clayton at
Tropicana Lanes.
Season ticket holders should have gotten an email. If you did not, please call the box office and talk to your season ticket rep.
I know a handful of people have already said they're going. I'm sure it's going to be a blast. I can't imagine it not being fun. I just think it's bad for me with my back, so I definitely am staying away because I want to be mobile for Saturday so I can see this.
Wanted to mention, talked to Jeremy just briefly via text this morning. He wanted us to mention the kids can bring a friend and the fact that they will have the bowling event. But he said most importantly, and I'm just going to read his text to us, most importantly, and I know the players have acknowledged everyone for the effort in the stands in Kansas City, but on behalf of the club and the front office, thank you for being the 12th man. Playing Wednesday at altitude and then traveling to KC while they rested, we don't get 3 points without the support driving the effort of the players. A big thank you to everyone. So there you heard it. You know, Jeremy Allenbaugh thanking everybody for coming out and saying we made a difference out there on the field. So good job.
I'm telling you, man, as soon as Zach showed up with his snare, man, we picked it up.
Well, and I mean...
We were playing well anyway. We were playing... Even when they scored, I thought we were playing well.
But there is some truth to that, though. If you're there and there's nobody making any noise and you let a couple goals go in, it's not as easy to get back up. But when you've got people screaming and hollering and you know they're watching us, you know yeah. what I mean? Not just on TV, not just on their iPhones back at home, but there are 100 people here screaming for us. Let's give just a little bit more.
Well, and especially when that 100 people are making so much more noise than the home crowd, it becomes a home game.
Right.
And it would drive me crazy last year. For example, I went to Tulsa last year with Mike McHugh and Ewan. It was Ewan's first away game. And there was probably, I don't know, 30 Luligans there. It was a Thursday night, but it was the last week of summer vacation. So there was a lot of kids there. And there was Ewan and Gottman's, and it was just, and it was when Preki, you know, did the photo group with the kids, and we were sat at this bar opposite the stadium, and the bus drove past, and the 30 of us are like waving at the players and giving it the big one, and then they went out on the field and stunk it up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can you drive past 30 of your fans that you know have just driven 5 hours and not be up for it?
Yeah.
And that's what I think disappointed me last year, and I do acknowledge that this year, especially in the first game at Swope, it was a night game and we were making a lot of noise. And I remember Corey, he was stood on the sideline and he looked over and he looked up, and you could see him going, "Holy shit!" You know, and I do think it makes a difference when they see that people care. I want people to know we care about this team.
And I think too, I think there are some guys on this team. I'll use Sean and Sam as examples that have been around us in some form or similar with the Coopers, where they see what that kind of thing does. There's no way they're letting those guys in the locker room slouch off. You know, they're putting the screws to them, saying, "Hey, this is, you know, they're here. We got to do this."
And when they do lose, they're genuinely
broken.
You know, broken about it. Yeah,
I don't think we've got a lot of players in that locker room that need to be G'd up right now.
I don't think so either.
Wanted to mention Mike McGinty and Kevin Kalish both kind of reached out on Twitter. We don't normally get big into college soccer because in St. Louis there are so many different colleges that people have allegiances to. But something kind of big is coming back. It's been a while, but starting this Friday, the resumption of the Bronze Boot game between St. Louis University and SIU Edwardsville. If you know anything about college soccer, anything about local soccer in St. Louis, This is a big one, and it's even
historic.
It's even bigger now because both programs are sort of, you know,
on the upswing
where they need to be. So this weekend, it's at Herman Stadium. I'm not 1,000% sure on time, but 7 p.m. So 7 p.m. at Herman Stadium, the Bronze Boot, SLU versus SIU. I won't tell you who to root for. I won't tell you. You have to root for somebody, but if you're looking for something to do on Friday night and you like soccer, that'd be a good one to go check out.
Root for St. Louis soccer. That's what it is. Because this was a trophy that meant something for a long time. And to see it come back, that's a great continuation of history.
Yeah, and
God knows the old people love the history.
And good kids are a part of both programs, and good kids from the St. Louis FC Academy are a part of both programs. So just go out there and root for the future of St. Louis soccer because it's bright.
How bright is it?
Got to wear shades, baby.
Boo.
Let's talk about...
That's not even close to where I was headed. I was hoping you're going to just talk about all the quality players.
Oh, no.
You're just going to go that
way. We need Stewart on because I'll forget him. We did a poll question last week. We didn't do anything today since it was kind of short notice. But I just asked simply... Have you or will you renew your season tickets? Out of the 82 votes, kind of a low vote total, 75% of you said you already have or you do plan on renewing. 17% are still debating. Hopefully the last couple of wins have given you some confidence there, and maybe if we make it to the playoffs, you'll decide to renew. And 8% said they definitely won't renew, and other than I moved away or I'm working late shifts now or I don't
financial
have any money.
I've been blinded in a foundry fire.
Right. I don't understand those who are just definitely no, unless, like I said, money or moving or something like that.
Oh, with 82, that could be one or two people, I guess. The reply on that is probably pretty low.
But still.
So I will give
I hate fun.
Yeah, that's basically what they're saying.
Fine. More fun for us to have.
All right. Just a few questions to go through tonight. Everybody generally pretty happy.
How about before we do that, we do a trivia question?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We got a trivia question.
Derek Gottman messaged me this evening and said, hey, I've got two tickets that I won't be able to use. Why don't you guys give them away on the podcast? So I said, okay, come up with a trivia question. He said, I'm on it. So the question for today is what St. Louis FC player holds the club record for career clean sheets? That would be a goalie, obviously, so that helps you figure it out.
Yep.
What STLFC player holds the club record for career clean sheets? Now, this is the important disclaimer for somebody that's not listening or wants to whine about that they didn't win. We're going to take all the correct answers, randomly draw it. Because, again, lower number. The first one answering, we're not going
to
do it.
And you have to DM them to This Is Silly Twitter account.
Yes.
Don't put it publicly because then anybody can get that answer.
Yep, they can steal your answer.
So just DM to the This Is Silly Twitter account and we'll take all of the correct answers and we'll put them in a random number generator and we will pick a winner.
I genuinely don't know the answer to this.
I don't either.
It took me...
We've had some good goalies over the years.
I didn't get it till my fourth guess.
Patrick McLean, man.
Percentage-wise,
100%.
We're looking for total number.
I was even trying to be a smartass. I'm like, did we have any field players that had to take over goalie in the middle of a game or something like that? But
no, yes. This is number of clean sheets.
Number of clean sheets. And it's the surprising thing is, and we'll discuss it on the Twitters tomorrow after we reveal the winner, is how close the numbers are.
Why don't we draw?
We'll draw on Wednesday.
One draw on Wednesday. That gives people a full day to listen to it. Some people can listen to it.
Yes, we'll draw during work Wednesday or after night. Work. We'll draw Wednesday night after Jack's soccer practice.
There you go. Wednesday night, we'll let you know, and so that's for two free tickets.
Be looking around 8 o'clock on
this
Wednesday
weekend's
night.
Game.
Thank you, Derek Gottman, for those.
Okay, few questions, and we can all weigh in on these and give our thoughts. I just asked for any questions or topics about St. Louis FC. Stuart Hultgren's first March going 60 minutes was big. Herzog needs some love for setting up the two goals. And Cox's finish was something beautiful.
Stewie just wants to be on the pod.
I think we've discussed all those things, and I agree wholeheartedly with Stuart.
How can you not? I mean, But again,
Martz is huge. His coming back, being healthy now.
If you're watching these games, everything he said should be obvious to you by now.
You know, I really like Corey Hertzog, and you know, you look at what he did to get Cox's first goal at the end of the Vegas game, and what he did on Saturday to get Cox the first goal, the equalizing goal. I mean, it was just selfless. I mean, that's just hunger.
Yeah.
And, you know, he the throw-in he had to get Sam the winner, he's massive for
this
club.
He's doing whatever it takes. And I feel terrible that some people don't see that, that all they expect is goals, 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 which, Corey, if you're listening, I would like a few more goals. But
we scored four on Saturday.
But and he is a direct part of several of those goals. So
I was actually thinking on Sunday about getting Hertzog on the back of my jersey. That's how impressive he's been.
Well,
you know, and when
mind you, that's probably the kiss of death. That means
don't do that.
When Kalistri scored, and they're all running towards us, the second guy behind Kalistri is Corey. He celebrated. I mean, he's a massive part of this team, and I love the guy. Well, I love all of them, to be honest. Yeah. But I'm with you, man. I really do want to acknowledge that the work he's putting in. He's a little terrier biting at ankles, man, and he makes things happen.
He's forced goalies into turnovers several times now. Saturday was not a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened a couple of times because he reads it so well. He's got the ability to get there and force them into something without fouling. That's huge. That's massive. You can't teach that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You can't teach people to watch the game away from the ball.
No.
But if you do, you see all the stuff that he
does. Know, the amount of runs he makes where the players on the field don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm Corey, I'm kind of frustrated because he's constantly making runs.
But he's pulling guys with him and he's opening lanes. And yeah, I mean, it's not been his year to put him in. But he's had a big influence on this team.
And the funny thing is that I didn't watch enough of the Riverhound games to know what kind of stuff he did off the ball there.
Yeah.
So I can't say if this is a new facet of his game or not. But
yeah, because he was always the scorer.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you can't teach this kind of stuff. It's something that's you have to imagine he did this. This is nothing new. Yeah. So he is a comprehensive player.
You know, and. Down the pecking order, when Preki came in last year, we got rid of Irvin because Preki wanted, instead of one guy getting 13, he wanted a number of people getting 5 and 6.
Yeah.
We've got both this year. We've got Kyle on 14,
yeah.
But we've got Kalistri on 5. We've got Wallfall on 4. We've got, you know, Tony Walls has chipped in with a couple.
Yeah.
You know, Kadeem's got a couple. And I feel like we're a better team than we're getting credit for. We probably won't have another guy in the USL team of the week because, you know, we spread four
goals. We always get one guy on the bench.
Because we got four goals from four different scorers. And I do think...
It's fine with me.
Yeah, we're flying under the radar a little bit, but every team that's going to play us from here on out into the playoffs or whatever, that they know that they're going to be in a game.
And you can't key on just one guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And taking that another step further too, talking about Tony Walls, that first of all, that shot that rang off the crossbar.
What a free kick by Lewis.
Oh, my God. What a strike that was. And then Tony just being in the right place, knowing what to do when it got there, not panicking, just driving it in with his head. You know,
Tony, another one of those guys that quietly, and it's hard for me to say Tony does anything quietly, but Tony is just out there working. And, you know, I mean... He's one of those guys from last year that we thought was better than we saw last year. And I think now he's able to fit into a team and not have as much pressure on him. Last year, he took a lot of that defensive pressure on himself, playing out of position as a center back for most of the season. This year, I think he's got to play his game a little better. Yes, he has helped us in the center back, but... You know, I think he's just been able to spread his wings and just do his thing a little more this year. So it's been good to see Tony in that role.
Love the guy. I don't like the fact he's a Liverpool fan, but yeah, I love the guy.
Can't all be heroes.
Jeff Aiken, and this is another one we talked about earlier, Kyle Gregg, MVP candidate. I felt like there have been others, but watching him go 1v1 and tuck that ball away puts him over the top for him. Yeah, I mean,
he's just dynamic with the ball.
Like, he's on fire, man. The guy is on fire.
And whether he starts the game or whether you bring him in at the half, Kyle Gregg's going to get a goal.
Yeah, it's almost a guarantee at this
he's
point.
He's played less than a game. He came off the bench in both games against Swope. He's played, what, I don't know, 70 minutes, scored two goals in two cumulative games against Swope. I mean, the guy's
was a big one for him, too, because he's from Olathe, Kansas. His family and friends were there in the staff. I don't know if you guys know, I stayed up, you know, when you guys all went down to the boards and were congratulating the players. He hopped the boards and was walking up, so I got to say hi to him up in the stands because he was going to meet with his family.
That's awesome.
I mean, so good for him. He had a lot of family and friends there.
The guy is just on fire. The guy is just totally on fire. And we knew – I was really excited when we got him. We got him late into the preseason. I was really excited. We had him on the podcast, and the guy just knows where the goal is.
Zach, what has to happen for us to make fourth place and get a home playoff game? Is that realistically possible? I mean, we could do some math and figure out how, but I think it would start with us winning out.
Well, we would have to win out. We'd have to get a lot of help from, you know, the San Antonios, the Portland Twos, and all that losing. But currently, who's in fourth? Is it Sacramento, I believe? Sacramento.
I was just looking at this 2 seconds ago. Hang on.
I think
Sacramento are fourth, I believe.
Because you've got Phoenix, you've got Real Salt Lake.
Portland is in fourth right now.
Portland's in fourth. Sacramento's in fifth. Let me read you Sacramento's games. They're away at Tulsa. They're away at Oklahoma City Energy. They're home to Portland 2, home to Swope Park, away at LA 2, and away at Vegas. They're in fifth right now, and they're going to get a lot of points before the season. Even if we do what we can to get there, I just don't think the likes of Portland, the likes of Sacramento are going to slip up that much. You know, everyone seems to have Tulsa on the board.
But
we do as well.
Matt, you pointed out a scenario where we could get one playoff game at home.
Absolutely. It's back up, man.
So, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You tweeted.
Absolutely. Because we all know that Cincinnati are going to lose the first playoff game. That's written
exactly
in the stars.
Right.
You know, so and New York Red Bull are in eighth, so they're going to, and Red Bull are going to go all the way to the Eastern Conference Final.
Because that's what they do.
And we're going to be seventh. We're going to get to the final, but we're seventh, they're eighth. USL Finals, it's destiny, man.
And I'm predicting that if that happens, we will make a killing on Charity du Jour on the final game.
I don't know what I'd do.
Let's not even talk about
it. It's not.
It was said in jest.
After the discussion today, and I think Matt Brown put together a nice little spreadsheet of potential points and stuff like that, I kept looking at it. I'm not going to lie.
How weird is it that Matt Brown's a little optimistic in putting together spreadsheets?
That tells you how crazy the season has been. If Matt Brown is optimistic, you know things are going well. But I will admit, after looking at it, I immediately jumped on the American Airlines website seeing what I could use for points to go to a playoff game. And let me tell you.
Salt Lake's an expensive flight.
Phoenix
is doable.
Phoenix is doable. I can use my points and get back and forth there for free.
Salt Lake sucks, though.
Yeah, Salt Lake is the one.
There's no cheap way to get there.
No, there isn't, and it's a long flight, too, because I think the team had two layovers when they did that. I think on American there was one. It's not an easy
travel. I thought it was a Delta hub.
Salt Lake?
Yeah.
But nobody goes there, so they charge out the ass.
Yeah, well,
nobody wants to go
that,
to
and Delta's more expensive than Southwest. The team's sending people on Southwest.
That's true. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the kid's in school now. I mean, I can't just bugger off with him whenever I want.
Depends on where it is and when it is. And, you know, I'll want to go, but whether I'll be able to justify it's another
thing.
I'm
leaning pretty heavily right now.
But to tell you the truth, though, you go back to May and June, if we don't have those injury woes.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't have those injury woes and we gel or click a little sooner, maybe 6 weeks, we could have so been there.
But I'm fine where we're at.
And I also, the one thing is, too, and nobody's really talked about it, this also bodes really well for next year.
Well, I was going to get to that as well, right? Because last year, I went to the night I passed out on the bleachers, we went to Denny's.
Fainted. Let's say fainted because passing
out. Because I've passed out on the bleachers. It's a totally different thing.
Well, you know, it was right after my stomach surgery, and I drank a bit too much. I didn't eat and whatever, and I passed out. And Alex took me to Denny's afterwards and, you know, got some carbs into me. And I was sat on a table next to Christopher Maddock. And Chris Maddock said, you know, this team reminds me of Liverpool. And at the time, I'm like, what are you talking about, you idiot? You know? But you know what? There's something there. Because when Klopp went to Liverpool, for the first year, 18 months of his tenure, his record was exactly the same as Brendan Rodgers. Okay, and everyone was like, why'd you get rid of Brendan Rodgers and bring this guy? Yeah. And they're exactly the same. But now you look back at Liverpool and you go, look at what Klopp's built.
Yeah.
And I hope that this continues. So in 2 years, in 18 months down the line from now, we can look back at now and go, look what he's built. And look, you know, we can look back now and say, look what he's built. But, you know, if this progression keeps going, we can look back a year from now and go, this has been one hell of a journey.
And I do think
there's your correlation to Liverpool.
And I do think there has been some growing pains along the way. I mean, we know that Ant wanted a small squad, and I think that hurt us, but I think they were able to bring in the right guys to help out, and now that this squad, the size it is, what we have, I think they're better prepared. I do think that has made a difference, that Jeremy was able to make the right moves and get the right guys in to help out, like Cox and, you know, Jepsen and stuff like that. But, you know, I think that going into next year, there's less chance of that May, June swoon again because we'll be better prepared than we were
this year.
I hope
so. But I also, I think the way things are going right now, if you're out of contract at another club, you're looking at us going, that's the kind of place I want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the kind of coach I want to play for.
We're back to being a destination.
I'd like to think so. And these optimistic podcasts, man, what do we do?
This will be the worst downloaded one ever.
Yeah. Stuart says, not directly St. Louis FC related, but Orlando struggling. Does James O'Connor get a second season? I think
oh, it absolutely.
Has to. I think
no question.
I don't think they would have hired him mid-season without the stipulation that we'll give you at least.
That's the other thing. It's a mid-season hire. Right? Yeah. He's saddled with the previous regime's players. They're going to give him a chance.
O'Connor's made one big mistake as far as I can see.
That's taken Da Silva back?
Not letting us have Pierre Da Silva for the rest of the season.
I tell you what, that kid coming here
may
have been a catalyst to something happening.
And I know, the official roster freeze happened last week, and I did send Jeremy a text. I said, is there any way we can get Pierre? And he just, immediately responded, nope.
but if it was a possibility right now, do you want to rock this boat?
No.
If we could have Pierre Da Silva on the bench.
Well, I don't know what the thing is? I don't think it's a rocking the boat because he's familiar and I think he knows how it works. I think he's the only guy that you could bring in that you'd say, he gets it, he'll be fine.
But yeah, I get your point.
Yeah.
I get your point. And I want to develop our own players. I don't want to develop somebody else's player, but quality kid, though.
He was brilliant.
Gardner, besides wishing for a dozen red cards and several injuries, what's the best result for St. Louis FC in regard to the midweek San Antonio swap game? I'm with you. A 0-0 draw, best for me.
It's a giant sinkhole.
If someone has to win, I think I would rather it be Swope at this point and just assume Swope's going to eventually make the playoffs and bury San Antonio, who's coming up after us.
Best case scenario would be for San Antonio to win and then us beat them and Swope miss out. And when us and San Antonio go to the playoffs.
Well, that would be nice too.
But I can't see it. But I don't care who makes the playoffs as long as we are in the mix. If we're there, I'm happy.
Speaking of optimistic changes, Mark Gardner, happy on a bus ride home.
It was nice, wasn't it?
Our bus rides with Mark are rant-filled and tantrums and expletives.
Mark was happy.
But he spelled it out 9 years.
Nine years, man. We sat there. We started going through the list, and we got depressed because it's like, oh, we went to Des Moines with the line. You know, we go blah, 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 blah. The only year we didn't really make a road trip was, well, the one of the years with the Lions we didn't, and AC St. Louis we didn't just because there was nowhere to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, 9 years.
Listening to Mark's stories about when, you know, in the 80s and 90s, he was going to watch U.S. national team games all over, the guy has been a fan for a long time.
And I didn't hook up my system, so I can't do the Pure Electric commercial.
But he's been a fan for a while. He's got some great stories. He lives and breathes this game. And I was delighted to have a win with my friends, but Mark especially.
Yeah.
And I also owed Mark because 2 years ago when we went to Swope and we were 2 minutes away from winning, I looked at him and said, we're going to see an away win. And just after, right after that, Dane Kelly equalized and we blew it. And he's always blamed me since. And he let me say, at 4-1, he let me say, we're going to get an away win.
Yeah.
And we haven't. And it went to 4-2. I'm like, oh my God.
As mentioned earlier, Mike McGinty just wanted to tell us to make sure we give a shout out to the Bronze Boot game this week. So Friday night, if you got nothing better to do, head down to Herman Stadium and watch the Bronze Boot. Jake, Cake with a J, he said.
Oh, and another guy that's come on board this year, Jake, and good to talk to him. You know, glad to have him on the bus.
Great dude. And you know what?
Top dude, yeah.
He's one of those guys, and we have so many of them, but I just like to point it out when it happens. We've got the three coolers of beer from Schlafly. You know, I turn around and I say, hey, I'm going to need some help. Boom, right there.
Yeah.
Jumps in, grabs a handle. And that's, we need people like that around, and it's glad to see that we still every year add somebody like that.
Saturday was amazing. Corey was semi-responsible for 3 of the 4 goals. As incredible as it is to have him off the bench, he's got to start over Dequa at this point. I mean, we talked about this earlier tonight, and yes, us three agree with you. What's important is, does Ant agree with you? And we don't know. But yeah, I agree. I think one of the reasons I'm so bullish on Corey is like I said, because there are some people down on him because he's not scoring goals, but he's doing everything else.
We scored 4 goals with him on the field on Saturday.
That's right.
And he almost went lame.
This one's from our friend Matt Johnson up in Minnesota. St. Louis FC just tweeted out that they'll have a $3 mystery beer cart. What's your reaction? This is basically Tall Boy Roulette, officially sanctioned by the team.
I guess so. I mean...
I mean, they probably won't have a selection of bad beers in there like we would just to screw with each other, but...
It's classy roulette.
It's very classy.
It's classy beer roulette.
I like it. I'm all for the beer roulette.
I hope they go get like a 12-pack of Schlitz or something to throw in there.
There should be a few losers in the bucket, and they should wheel it out to the corner at some point during the evening. I know they said they want it by customer relations or whatever for you to go up there, but... If they made a round with the mystery beer cooler, I bet we can empty it. And he also says, are you guys happy with just sneaking into the playoffs?
Goddamn right.
Now that we are so close, are you wanting to go up the table to get a matchup you like better?
I want anybody. I feel this team can take on anybody right now. We showed that in Real. We can, you know, this team can run.
I'm not going to get greedy. We said at the beginning of the year, making the playoffs was the goal. As long as they make the playoffs, I don't care if they barely squeak in. I don't care if they have to lose a game and somebody else win 3 for us to get in. However, it has to work.
The only team that I've seen that really, really scared me is Phoenix.
Yep.
And we'll have a chance.
And the caveat on that is that they played us at the worst possible time. We were riddled with injuries. We've been traveling all over the country from Duluth to Louisville to Colorado Springs back to home. You know,
we'll see in a couple of weeks.
You know, they're going to see a different St. Louis FC in 2 weeks to what they played before. So that could all change. I think Phoenix has been very good at smashing up the teams at the bottom of the table. But when they get to play Sacramento, when they get to play Monarchs, they lose. You know, when they come up against good teams, they're not as good as they look. And I'm very interested to see what we can do down there, because I think we could go down there and surprise them. Also, Phoenix have already clinched.
Yeah.
So they may also take the foot off the gas, knock on wood. So.
And at this point, I mean, we've said it several times, Matt. One game in the playoffs, anything can happen. I don't think we're outclassed by anybody in this league as far as just like their head and shoulders above us.
Yeah.
I was worried about RSL. We took care of business in RSL. I mean, we didn't win, but we held our own.
Yeah, yeah.
Orange County's a good team, but we've fared well against them this year.
We didn't lose against them. We haven't lost against Sacramento.
So, yeah, Phoenix is the other big team in the West. Obviously, if we get over to the East.
Portland, too. We should have beat them.
Yeah.
You know, they beat us, but, you know, we that was an aberration, what happened in Portland. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't fear anybody in the West.
I mean, yeah, there's obviously teams I'd rather play than others. But and then once we go to the East, I mean, Cincinnati. But Cincinnati is the big dog right now. But like you said, they could be out in the first round. So
all it takes is one game.
The top four in the East are really good.
Yeah.
But I think the top eight in the West are better than the next bunch down.
You made a comment on the bus, and I forget what the number was, but where we would sit in the
East. We'd be fifth in the East right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm beginning to see Jeremy said it in the offseason, or right as when the schedule was announced, that he felt the West was tougher as a whole, but it didn't have the top end as much.
And some of the top teams in the East, they're not as good as they were. I mean, Louisville, obviously, not as good as they have been in years past.
I know they've got a game or so in hand over us, but they've only got one more win than us this season.
I mean, they're still a very talented team, and I wouldn't, you know, obviously think they're probably... They'd be favored over us, but they're not...
They're not coming in and smashing us 5-1 again.
They're not what they were last year. Tampa Bay, who I thought were better, they've fallen off. Indies... Maybe better than I thought they would be, but they're not.
They blow hot and cold.
Yeah.
Nashville,
same thing. You know,
it's going to take 5 more points to make the playoffs in the West than it is in the East.
That's a lot. I mean, that is significant.
I think it was USL Pony guy who's a Sacramento dude been putting up projections, and it's going to take 5 more points to make the playoffs in the West than it is in the East.
And that's a lot. I mean, because yes, you have the Tulsa, and you have. But I think there's more of the Tulsas in the East right now than there are in the West.
I think so. Great, pardon.
Thank you. God damn it.
This moment brought to you by Metamucil for old people.
Thank you. I clicked a button.
St. John's Wort, maybe? I mean...
I clicked a button. It was my fault. Oh, JD24, he wants to know, did everyone survive the bus trip and make it back to St. Louis safely? No, we did have one casualty of the bus trip. The charity du jour box got smashed.
Oh, that's right.
So I've duct taped it back together. Hopefully it can make the last few home games, but we may be having to buy a new charity box at the end of the season.
If that's the worst thing that happened,
yes.
We did have one broken bottle in one of the coolers.
Ah.
We did have that, evidently.
Pull one out for a fallen homie.
That's right.
And last question, David Valentine. This is our friend down in Orlando. Question on American soccer in general. Some MLS2 teams dropping down to D3. A few have said the D3s are for academy development only and not MLS players. Do you see more long MLS loans to USL as a result? And how do you rate St. Louis goalkeeping this year versus last season? As far as the loans, I think the teams that drop down to D3, I think they will loan some of the older players that they have under contract right now out to other USL teams. Whether that's short term loans or long term loans, I don't know, but I can't see the older guys going down to D3.
Yeah, I think you're going to see. You know, like we'll talk about our friend Patrick Duty.
Yeah.
You know, if that was a current situation with him, they would send him to St. Louis to get...
Or a Parker Marr right now. He's with Swope. If Swope truly does drop down to D3, I think they'll either find a D2 spot for Patrick Marr or trade him. I mean,
Parker Marr.
I get too many. I think some of the older guys... won't make the trip down to D3. It'll be interesting to see how the MLS2 teams use the D3 league.
Yeah, it's. I do think now, whereas you get someone like Drew Connor who saw coming to St. Louis as dropping down.
Right.
Well, if the option is to play in D3, you're going to go to D2. It's actually a step above where you would be otherwise. So they might not.
And
see
they can
it.
Still write short-term loans. It's not.
And, you know, but. it depends what the coach wants. I mean, if you want to watch your guy train day in, day out, you're going to keep him at home. Or if you think, okay, you can go to over here and play 4 or 5 games in a row and go get some playing time. It just depends what the coach wants.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And again, it's the network of coaches. These guys, if there's one thing I've learned over the past 4 years, is how interconnected these people are, and they know everyone. And, you know, the guys in MLS know the USL teams. They know the PDL teams.
It's not the enemies of sports that it used to be, where
they know who to contact. They know, you know, who, I mean, if Jeremy and Ant hear about a guy, they know who to call that he's played for before. So they will find a place for these guys. They've got
that system too, where they get all the video clips of all the, you know, where, you know, an MLS coach having that, he can look and say, okay, well, I'm thinking about sending him to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Who do they have there? I can watch that guy, see if my guy's better. Yeah. You know, they get a lot more visibility.
Ant and Jeremy just flat out said, this year, every player they thought about, they called their college coach, they called their former club coach. I mean, there's a network there that's big and getting better. So,
well, and it's in everybody's best interest. It is still a growing game in this country, and you do need to help a brother out.
And as far as the goalkeeping goes, I mean, we've talked about Jonesy and what he does.
This is definitely our best pairing since PaceCon.
Yeah.
I mean,
but also,
Thompson was pretty damn good.
He was erratic, man. He would rush out goals.
You're right.
But everyone was like, why didn't we sign Pace? Why didn't we sign Pace? It's like the De Silva thing. You can't bring him in because he dropped the boat.
Yeah.
Jay could be like, well, why'd you sign me there if you're just bringing Pace back? So that's why.
It's been good this year. Don't get me wrong.
I'm with you. I think this has been our, and they're both our keepers. We've not got one keeper and a Chicago guy. These are both our keepers. Yeah. I've been really impressed.
Right.
A lot of love for Ginger, though.
What was last year? I'm blanking. Okay, it was
Davala
and yeah,
Adam.
Davala was grinning. Was the short straw last year.
Right.
This is right up there. This is right up there.
And yeah, I really like Thompson, the guy.
I think
the guy was great, but I mean, he was a little erratic coming off his bench, off his line, sorry.
And this year, I would say a little hampered by Gomez coming in injured and then the personal stuff going on with him. I mean, it's not his fault, but he's had a lot going on this season, starting off, like I said, injured, trying to fight back from that.
And he's still played very, very well.
Yeah.
It's in spite of that.
But he's not been 100% all season long. And that said, I'm still totally confident with throwing him out there. But when we signed him, in my mind, he was 2-time gold glove.
Yeah.
He's going to start every game for us. And maybe that was unrealistic. So I think he didn't achieve what I thought he would achieve this year. But he's been, more than fine. And Jake has been a surprise to me. Jake has been a kind of like Grinny last year. I didn't expect anything out of Grinny last year. Because
he looked about 12.
But he surpassed all my expectations, and Jake has surpassed my expectations of him.
Those are guys that made the best of their opportunities.
I do think that Jonesy works wonders with number twos.
He works wonders, period.
Yeah, but I mean, the guys coming in that you think is a number two, and they just turn out to be brilliant. I mean, whatever.
He can make anybody into a 1B. And not a number two.
Yeah. I actually agree with that.
And I think we've seen that over the course of 4 years, that there's always been somebody that was a 1B that became, or a 2 that became a 1B.
So looking forward to next year, I mean, I know it's impossible to say who's coming back next year, but I think two of the guys that will benefit greatly from being healthy and there from the beginning are Cox and Gomez. I think those two could hit the ground running next year.
Without a doubt.
So
I'd like to see Wolf Hall back.
I mean, I want
because
him back.
Because he was out for a fair chunk of time. You know, I'd like a real good, healthy stretch from Wolf, because, you know, him and Austin and Barden being out for the length of time they have.
I think
if we had I mean, you're always going to get injuries, you know, a pulled hammy here and what have you, where guys are out for a couple of games. But we've had a bunch of guys out for a long stretch.
Yeah.
And if we hadn't have had those, we've just had, you know, regular tears and pulls here and there. We will be looking at, I think, a home playoff run.
Yeah. And here's the part where general manager Jeremy Albaugh is going to get mad at me, because I'm going to say, look, wall fall has to be our number one priority going into this offseason. I think he's the stick that stirs the drink. I think he has been monumentally vital to everything we're doing out there on the field. I mean, to me, you talk about an MVP of the team, again, separate from Luligan of the year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just think he's done it all for us.
He creates, yeah, passes on a dime. He's a big man mountain.
Yeah.
You know, he's solid. You know, his dead balls. You can't push him off a ball.
Yeah.
And when I first spoke to Lewis at the beginning of the season, I said, when you signed for this team, who did you look at and go, yeah, that's legit? And he said Wall, because he'd played against Wall at Charlotte last year when Wall was at Rochester, and he said he just ran him off the park.
Yeah.
And he was delighted that we got him. And
but what I mean, really, that's something too. That's such a great statement, though. When other players are saying that's the guy,
yeah,
there is no better compliment as a player. When you're a player's player, that is really the ultimate compliment. We can sit here and talk, you know, pundit all day long, but we're just three idiots. You know, the guys.
Yeah, we are. No, seriously, we are.
But the guys that are in the trenches doing the work every day, that see the practice, that see the abilities, that see, you know, 30 other teams in this league over the career, you know, 2-3 year career, for them to say he's the guy, that's the ultimate accolade.
You know, we spoke to Corey when Corey's on the podcast. Which guy did you look at, you know, and think he's the business? He said it was Sam, you know, yeah, because he said when he first saw Sam, you know, this nice, affable, laid back dude, he's like, no way can he be a central defender,
and he's,
you
hard,
know, and then I played against him, and he's throwing elbows at me, and he's, you know, bouncing me in the post, and I can't get past him, and you know, and that's what you want to hit.
I think there's just a strong crew of guys this year that we should do everything in our power to bring back, because they've had a good season, and obviously that you always want to upgrade here or there, you want to make tweaks, and some guys will want to move on and do something different, but I think Jeremy and Ant have a tough job this season, putting it all together for next season, but we're not fucking done yet.
No, we are not. And so, that's a great feeling. I mean,
but this time last year, we were just like, burn it up, start again, start from scratch. And now we're sat here going, you know what?
Can we
bring back a serious core of this group. It'd be great.
Yeah,
and it is. It's a great core. It's a great setup. I mean, this is the team that you want to go run in can make a run in the playoffs.
Here. And hats off to the crew, Pat Berry and Alan Baugh and Tom and Jim and everybody who made the call on Ant, because we know they had a couple other choices, and there were a few sexier names that they brought in to interview, but Ant has just proved to be the right fit for St. Louis.
So far,
right now.
So good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, congrats there. And you know what? And let's not mess around here. You know, earlier in the season, people were talking about the strength and conditioning guys, the physios, you know, what's going on here?
That'd be me. I was one of them.
We're all healthy, dude.
I know.
You know, we're all healthy right now, and we're getting into the stretch where we need them to be healthy, and knock on wood.
And Jeremy told us on the pod, it's just bad luck. And it was hard to accept at the time because you don't like hearing that. But looking back, okay.
Well, I mean,
he's right.
I was wrong. And Pat, I mean, we pulled Pat aside and said, "What's going on?" Pat said, "We looked at it extensively, and we interviewed everybody, and we talked to other teams about what they do." And he said, "Really, we weren't doing anything wrong. It just shit happens." So
that's hard to accept as a fan a lot of times,
because you want something to change,
right?
Make it, fix it.
You want accountability for it, but sometimes there just isn't.
So I don't know. I'm happy with where we sit right now. Obviously, we need a huge game on Saturday, and it would be beneficial if we had a full park on Saturday to cheer those boys on.
Question. Now we beat Swope and Tulsa beat San Antonio. Does the dynamic change a bit where, you know, Oh, I, in my opinion, a draw. If we draw against San Antonio, it's okay. They have to best us.
Yeah. I mean,
obviously, we want to win. It goes without saying. But the way the results fell this weekend, we just have to match them.
Yes.
To an extent, yes. But the problem is,
I'm still worried about Reno.
See, part of the problem is that after San Antonio is Phoenix.
Yeah.
So then you're looking at only having Tulsa and Oklahoma City left. You know, Oklahoma City, you don't know what you're going to get.
Here's the thing. If we take care of business in San Antonio, we put here against San Antonio, we put ourselves in a position where we can watch and see. If we stub our toe against San Antonio, then we have to go for everything from here on out. You know what I mean?
Leave nothing to chance.
I don't want to count on winning in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose in San Antonio, then we have to go for it a little harder.
Well, and the
Phoenix.
Thing is, San Antonio is a home game. We should win that. Statistically, right.
we should win that game. And obviously, I think we can win our last two against the Oklahoma teams.
Yeah.
But we don't want to put ourselves in a position where our back's against a wall and we can't. Because, I mean, Tulsa showed it. They can beat
a good team. Yeah, they can be a spoiler.
So I want to put ourselves in the best position possible going into those last two games. And that includes beating San Antonio Saturday.
And you think that Tulsa's not going to be up to be a spoiler when they come here
absolutely.
In the second to last game?
Absolutely.
They know. They're going to be up for being
and,
that spoiler.
But you know also what? We've won 5 home games in a row.
Yeah.
We are a bloody good team. We've won 7 out of the last 12. Since Vegas, which, as I say, I consider the nadir of the season, we're a bloody good team right now, and no one wants to come face us.
You shouldn't.
And that's... That's what I want. As a guy that appreciates hard work, grafting teams that leave it all on the field, I absolutely no complaints right now.
So,
but the important thing about this whole thing?
Not fucking done, dude.
Holding back the fear again. Try to make it real again.